Our third message on in Matthew, the 16th chapter. Matthew 16th chapter is like preaching with two lit dynamite pieces, sticks of dynamite in your hand. That's the way it is. It's full of energy and full of truths. Matthew, the 16th chapter, we're going to start with number 13 now. And the title of this message is, Who is the Son of Man or the Son of Woman? Who is the Son of Man or Son of Woman? And before we do that, we have to go back to the book of Genesis, the first book, the Bereshit, the book of beginnings. Genesis, the third chapter, to understand who the Son of Man or the Son of Woman is. In the third chapter, we find the betrayal of God by man. God betrayed, or man betrayed God. And in the third chapter, in verse number 1, it says, And now the serpent, the Nahash, had become more crafty and more evil than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He became. God didn't make him that way. God made nothing evil. Okay? Never. Which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Indeed has God said, You shall not eat from any tree of the garden. And the woman said, No, we shall not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he said, Well, he said, That's because God wants to withhold something from you. He's keeping something from you. He doesn't want you to have it. You'll be like God if you eat of that tree. And, of course, they ate of that tree, and they ate all of it, as far as I can tell, because it's wild, consecutive, and perfect. They kept on eating. They might have eaten all the fruit on it. They might have eaten all the leaves on it. They might have eaten every branch, every root from this tree. And it was God's tree. That's the only thing he withheld from them. And Satan told him, she said, if we eat from this tree, we're going to die. And he said, surely God will not kill you. We shall not touch it. It's God's tree, she said. She had the information, all right, but then she was deceived. Verse number 7 says, And the eyes of both of them became opened, and they kept on knowing that they were evil, arum. They were evil, they were naked, they were thieves, they were liars, they were cheats. And then they sewed fig leaves together and they made for themselves breeches, underwear. Man made religion. God came along and killed sheep. The lambs, innocent lambs, which were their friends, by the way. Something innocent had to die for the guilty. And God made clothes for them. Adam said, God said, where are you, Adam? And he said, I was afraid and I hid myself from you. I had become evil. I had become naked. So I kept on hiding myself from you. He said, what have you done? Have you taken from the tree? He said, the woman that you gave to me, she gave to me and I kept on eating. She kept on giving to me and I kept on eating. And the woman said, the devil made me do it. And then in verse number 14, we have God speaking. We have him speaking to the serpent, which is representative of Satan. And Jehovah Elohim said to the serpent, Because you have done this, cursed you are more than all the cattle, above all the cattle, and below all the cattle, and more than every beast of the field. And on your belly you shall walk. And in dust you shall keep on eating all the days of your life. You're going to eat right in the dirt. And I'm going to put active hatred between you and the woman. And between your seed, the Antichrist, Satan is going to have a child, people. He's going to have a son. The seed of Satan is the Antichrist and maybe some of these others down through the history. between your seed and her seed, and that's Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And he shall bruise you as to the head. He's going to get deal the death thee and blow to him, but you shall bruise him as to the heel. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth, and in pain you shall bring forth children, and let your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you. That's something women that have a hard time accepting, isn't it? And then in Genesis, the fourth chapter, we got another story. God had promised the woman that from her seed, not from Adam's seed, but from her seed would come forth a Messiah. And the Messiah would overcome the seed that's the son of the devil. And now the man had a sexual relationship with his wife, Eve. Now, he had called her by a different name. Her name was Ishah before, but now it's Eve. That means living. Because of the promise, he calls her the mother of all living, not the mother of all dying, which she would be the mother of all dying also. But the mother of all living, that means that we will have a Messiah child. And he had sexual relationships with his wife, and she caught seed. And she gave birth to Cain. Cain means gotten, by the way. And he said, I have gotten a man-child at Jehovah. I have gotten a man-child, even Jehovah. John 1:14 says, Kaiha logo sarks aganaton, and the word to Jehovah became flesh and dwelt among us. We all beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's the Messiah. That's the Son of Woman and the Son of Man. Enoch, when he writes of the promised child, he always calls him the son of woman, not man, because he will have no earthly father. Now, when Jesus uses the word son of man, he talks about the son of humanity, because he will have no father. He should have been, according to Genesis 3:15, when we look at it, son of woman. So now we're going to figure out who Son of Man is. Who is the Son of Man? Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he began asking his disciples. Actually, what he said, he kept on asking his disciples, who do you say the Son of Man is? Now, go back to Genesis, the third chapter, verse number 15. And then look at Genesis 4 and verse 1. Now, who do you say the Son of Man is? And they said, some said John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, plural now, he's talking to all of them. And this all here is his church. The church is in existence. He started calling this church out at the seashores of Galilee. The church is here now. And he said to them, the church, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter caught up in speech, and he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the seed of the woman. Who is Jesus? He's the seed of the woman. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon, son of John. Bar-Jonah means son of John. Bar, son, Jonah. See the word Jonah? We talked about Jonah in the last message. What word Jonah means John. Simon, the son of John, one who hears. Simon means son of John, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but the Father who is in heaven. You didn't learn that down there in the Galilean synagogues. But what had Jesus done? Jesus had done many miracles, hadn't he? Jesus had healed the blind. He had healed the lepers. He had proven that he was the Son of God. He was the Messiah King of Israel. My Father in heaven has revealed this to you. He's made it known to you. You have light. Verse number 18 now. This is very important. But I say to you, you are a little stone. Now, a lot of the Protestant world and the Catholic Church is going to tell you that the rock in this verse here in Matthew 16 and verse 18 is Peter. The rock is not Peter. The rock is the Son of Man. The rock there is the same rock that followed Israel in the wilderness. The rock of Israel, Jehovah, is the rock. And Jehovah is Jesus. John 1:14. And he said, "But I say unto you that you are Peter." And we have another word here. We have "and," but it should be translated "but." This is a strong adverbial conjunction here. "But upon this rock." This rock is not Peter. Peter is the stone. Jesus is the rock. The rock that follows Jesus. Jehovah is the rock of the Old Testament. Just go look in your analytical biblical lexicon and just go look up the rock and find out who the rock is. It's not Peter. It's Jesus. Look in the Old Testament, the rock of Israel, that's Jesus. "But upon this rock I shall be building my church, and the gates of the unseen world shall not wrestle her down." The gates of the unseen world, the gates of hell, shall not wrestle her down. And I'm going to tell you something. The gates of hell has wrestled against the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just look at church history. Look at church history. And if you study church history in grammar school or high school or in college or university, they're going to tell you, if they're talking about the church history, is Catholic history. Church history is not the history of the Catholic Church. Catholic Church is not the church. She is the leaven. The Catholic Church is not the church. The Catholic Church is the leaven, the false doctrine. And if you study church history and see the leaven, the evolution of Catholicism, you'll find it went further and further and further away from God. From the time the Catholic Church was called the Catholic Church, which basically the Catholic Church began in 325 A.D. by Constantine. He coined the Catholic Church, the Church Catholic. They were never known as that before. And he said, unto his disciples now, unto the church. Peter does not have the keys. I remember one time, real funny thing. Marilyn's smiling already. She knows what I'm going to tell you about. We were coming home, and both of us were in different cars. And she got out, and she went into the wash house out there, and there was a freezer out there. And she went in there, and I followed later after her. And she was going up toward the house, and I was going to make enchiladas. Cheese enchiladas. You use cheese on enchiladas where you got rice or when you got whatever you got in them, either chicken or pork or beef or whatever, you use cheese. And so I hollered up there at Marilyn, and I said, "Marilyn, do you have the cheese?" And Marilyn's a little hard of hearing, like me. And she said, "I got the keys." And I said, "Marilyn, do you have the cheese?" I looked in there, and there was cheese in the freezer. And I didn't know whether she got the cheese or not. I was going to get it because I didn't want to have to walk out there in this weather. And she said, "I got the keys." I said, "Do you have the cheese?" And she said, "I have the keys." I said, "Marilyn, do you have the cheese?" And she said, "One more time, you ask me, I'm going to throw these keys at you." Is that true, Marilyn? Yeah. The keys. Marilyn had the keys, but Peter doesn't. And she had the cheese too. But I didn't know it. And he tells the church, "I shall be giving to you the keys of the kingdom." The church has the keys of the kingdom, not Peter. "I shall give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you all, plural, shall bind upon earth, it shall have been bound in heaven already. And whatever you shall loose upon earth, it shall have been loosed in heaven already." And Matthew, the 18th chapter, verse 14, Isaiah 28, and verse 16 refers to this also. And then he said, and he warned the disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. Now, 1 Peter 2 and 8, let's go there for just a moment. Just kind of, let's get this thing straightened out once and for all. 1 Peter 2 and 8. Let's see what Peter says about the rock. Jesus said, I am the stone which the builders rejected. The word stone is the foundation stone. It's a rock, big heavy rock. And Peter let's just go from verse number 1. Therefore, putting aside all malice and guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect and salvation. And if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord and coming to him as the living stone. Who's the stone? Who's the rock? Who's the foundation stone? Jesus. To a living stone, rejected by men, but choice, picked out, elect, and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, built upon that foundation stone, are being built up as a spiritual house for the holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the rock. He's the stone. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone. He's not talking about himself, is he? And he who believes in him, this is a choice cornerstone, shall not be disappointed. And this precious value then is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone. He's not talking about himself. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, for they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and this doom they shall be appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of him who has called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light, who were once not a people or a no people, but now you are the people of God, and you have not received mercy, but now have received mercy. What a story. Who is the rock? Jesus is the rock. It's not Peter. Peter said he wasn't the rock. It's Jesus is the rock. He's the stone. And by the way, from this, it says that thou shalt never cease to be a true New Testament church from the very calling of the church at the seaport shores of Galilee all the way down here to the end of the church age. All the way to the end of the church age. Charles Tate Russell, Joseph Smith, none of these people, the Catholic Church had no right to start another church. Because the church was already founded, and Jesus said, I will never be disappointed with it. I shall keep it here until I come back for it myself. Our Father, we send this message out. We want to make for sure that people know who the rock is. It's your Son. It's not Peter. It's not somebody else. It's not me. It's the rock of Israel, the stone that rejected, the cornerstone is your Son. Father, please use this message to bring people to you from all over the world, to let them know what they believe and why they believe it. And Father, please use it for your honor and glory. Please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.